Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 21st, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden releases another flurry of executive orders taking aim at the pandemic.
Opposition to the president's stimulus plan emerges with Republican senators questioning the cost.
Twitter takes action against the Chinese embassy to the U.S.
And the world hits another grim milestone in the fight against COVID-19.
Three National Guard troops are dead after a helicopter crash in New York State. Plus, the Senate confirms the first woman as U.S. intelligence chief. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. It was the first game with the Nets' big three all playing together. They lost in double overtime in Cleveland.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. With an operating platform designed to support all major asset classes, diverse strategies, and investment vehicles, SEI is redefining wealth management. Learn more at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning, 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 17, NASDAQ futures up 57, the DAX in Germany's up 0.3%, CAC in Paris lower, down 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.8%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 1.08%, yield than the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 45 cents at $52.86 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $4.10 at $18.74.30 an ounce. The euro 1.2141 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning with another flurry of executive orders from President Biden. Just moments ago, the White House issued orders aimed at ramping up the fight against the pandemic. That includes reversing moves by Biden's predecessor. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden will invoke the Defense Production Act to boost production and distribution of vaccines, tests, and PPE. Another order creates a national testing board for a unified approach to testing and double testing supplies. He'll direct federal agencies to improve data collection and reporting for high-risk populations. States that have deployed the National Guard would be reimbursed, and the U.S. is returning to the World Health Organization. Other orders focus on travel, requiring masks on inner-city buses, trains, ships, in airports, and on airplanes. People who arrive in the U.S. from other countries will have to show they have a negative test, and then they'll have to quarantine. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. President Biden capped off his inauguration day with remarks from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial last night and called on America to unify.
I've never been more optimistic about America than I am this very day. There isn't anything we can't do if we do it together.
The president noted historic challenges facing the country, but his calls for cooperation will be tested. He's already facing confirmation roadblocks for cabinet picks and contentious negotiations over his stimulus plan.
Yeah, several GOP senators, including Mitt Romney, have concern over Biden's $1.9 trillion relief measure. Consideration of the package will also be complicated by impeachment proceedings. We spoke with Democratic representative from New York, Carolyn Maloney.
I think we can do both at the same time. We have to get the resources out across the country to help this country recover from COVID. We're in a fight or a race against the virus. We have to get vaccines out. In New York, we've absolutely used up all our vaccines. We need more resources coming to help the medical establishment and to help the people.
Representative Maloney spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. You can catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Turning to other news now, Twitter is taking action on human rights in China. The social network has locked the account of the Chinese embassy to the U.S. That's after a post that defended Beijing's policies in the western region of Xinjiang, where China is accused of forced sterilization of minority Uyghurs. We get more from Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner.
Until they go in, remove that tweet at Twitter's request, they won't have access to the account again. In theory, they could go in right now and delete it and should have the account back shortly after that. But it sounds like they're not willing to go in and make that change.
The move complicates efforts to reset U.S.-China relations under President Biden and also comes as Beijing sanctions 28 former Trump administration officials.
Turning to the pandemic, now we have another grim milestone, a new record for global fatalities as daily deaths surpass 17,500. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. John.
And Nathan, President Joe Biden's team is increasingly worried the coronavirus pandemic is spiraling out of control. That as vaccinations lag and a more transmissible strain emerges. In an interview with Bloomberg, Moderna's chairman, Noubar Afeyan, was more optimistic, saying nothing prevents his company from playing its role in a more aggressive vaccine rollout.
At least on our side, the production, the quality checks, and the supply distribution capability exists for us to be able to play our part in meeting that objective. And so far, nothing we see discourages us.
The U.S. death toll now stands at 406,000, but there are signs of hope. Weekly coronavirus deaths are forecast to dip in about a month. Well, so far, the U.S. has administered more than 17 million vaccine doses. You can get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, on Wall Street, earnings for big banks are wrapping up. Now we're learning more about the outlook for bonuses this year. Bloomberg News has learned that Citigroup will reduce bonuses for top executives after a reprimand from regulators. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
A source says the reductions may vary widely depending on the size and structure of each executive's pay package. Executives who report directly to the management committee are being told this month of the decision. Citigroup's board is still weighing final compensation decisions for the 15-member executive management team, including CEO Michael Corbat. The move is another sign of the effort Citigroup is making to appease the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency and the Federal Reserve after both regulators ding the bank for failing to properly maintain risk management systems and other internal systems. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. Coming up later this morning, the European Central Bank issues its latest policy decision. Stay tuned for details on that at 7:45. 5 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by remarks from ECB President Christine Lagarde at 8:30. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to check the latest world, national, and New York headlines with Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Senate confirmed Avril Haines as Director of National Intelligence.
On this vote, the yeas are 84, the nays are 10. The nomination is confirmed.
Haines is the first woman to oversee the nation's spy agencies and the first member of President Joe Biden's cabinet to win approval. Haines pledged that she'll never let politics affect decision-making in the collection and use of intelligence. Three National Guard members on a training flight were killed last night when their helicopter crashed in a farmer's field in western New York. The Black Hawk medical evacuation helicopter crashed around 6:30 p.m. in Mendon, a rural town south of Rochester. Monroe County Sheriff Todd Baxter.
This is a heavy, heavy burden upon all of us. These are our freedom providers. And again, just showing again that the freedom is not free. We lost three great Americans today in the service of our country.
The FAA said it would take part in the crash investigation. The helicopter flew out of the Army Aviation Support Facility at Rochester International Airport. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said flags on state buildings would be lowered to half staff today to pay tribute to the troops. President Biden said that his predecessor, Donald Trump, left him a very generous letter before leaving Washington ahead of his inauguration. However, new White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki would not disclose the exact content.
It was both generous and gracious, and it was just a reflection of him not planning to release the letter unilaterally, but I wouldn't take it as an indication of a pending call.
It was Psaki's first daily press briefing in the Biden administration. Members of the far-right group, the Proud Boys, are now said to be mocking President Trump, saying he'll go down as a total failure. The New York Times reports the group, who were among then-President Trump's loyalist fans, are now calling him weak, as more of them are charged for storming the U.S. Capitol. Police in western New York say two children who were abducted near Rochester this week have been recovered in Alabama and are safe. Police in the town of Greece say two men took three-year-old Shakira Cash and her five-year-old brother Dimitri from their foster home Monday night. Greece Police Chief Drew Forsyth said information from a rental car led to an address in Montgomery.
Located on the floorboard under blankets in the back seat were Shakira and Dimitri.
Police have arrested a woman. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. Nets and Cavs played a wild one in Cleveland. Brooklyn took the lead, made its first 10 shots. Then a 17-0 Cavs run. They led by 13 in the fourth quarter. The Nets rallied. They went to overtime. Then a second OT. That's when one Cav took over.
Sexton out front against Durant as Durant picked him up on the switch. Sexton, six on the clock. Three ball. There's another one! Colin Sexton! Absolutely sizzling from downtown. 139-131. Cavs by eight.
Cavs radio. Colin Sexton would then make another three-pointer. 42 points, 15 of them in that second overtime. Cleveland won 147-135. It was the Nets' first game with Kevin Durant, the just returned from his absence Kyrie Irving, and the recently acquired James Harden. All together, they combined for 96 points. Harden had a triple-double. Same two teams play again tomorrow in Cleveland. Knicks start a West Coast trip tonight at Golden State. The NBA has now had 16 games postponed. They say there should be no more hugs, handshakes, or high fives during games. Elbow and fist bumps are allowed. Phillip Rivers was technically drafted by the Giants in 2004 and then traded to the Chargers for Eli Manning. A year after Eli retired, Rivers announced his retirement, played this past season for the Colts after 16 years with the Chargers. He retires fifth all-time in passing yards and TD passes. Dan Campbell wants a backup tight end for the Giants. Now he's the head coach in Detroit, had most recently been an assistant in New Orleans. Houston and Philadelphia still looking for a coach. The Jets will introduce their new coach, Rob Saleh, today. John Stash, yeah, we're Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Some sports news off the court. Nets star Kyrie Irving bought George Floyd's family a house earlier this year. Irving's publicist recently confirmed that to CNN. Of course, Floyd died earlier this year after a police officer knelt on his neck for more than 8 minutes. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks climbing to records on optimism that fiscal spending will revive economic growth and bolster corporate earnings. Futures are higher after the Nasdaq jumped more than 2% yesterday. The dollar is weakening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 18. Nasdaq futures up 48. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 1.08%. Yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 51 cents at $52.80 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3 at $18.73.20 an ounce. The euro 1.2145 against the dollar. British pound 1.3734 and the yen at 103.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump is issuing another flurry of executive orders aimed at fighting the pandemic. Just this hour, the president announced plans to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost vaccine and testing supplies. He'll create a national testing board and require masks on buses, trains, and airplanes. President Biden also says the U.S. will rejoin the World Health Organization. The Senate confirmed Avril Haines to be President Biden's Director of National Intelligence. She is the first woman to hold the post. In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Cavaliers in double overtime, 147-135. The Celtics lost, the Warriors won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we look ahead to the first full day in office for President Biden, we're joined by Andy Blocker, head of U.S. Government Affairs at Invesco. It's great to have you on with us, Andy. And of course, we've seen President Biden really hit the ground running here with a flurry of executive orders starting yesterday, yet more orders announced today, particularly aimed at the pandemic. How is the new president setting the stage for himself as he begins to take office here?
Well, Nathan, I think President Biden is hitting the ground running, but it's nothing we hadn't expected. Everything he's done so far, he has telegraphed. He's let us know. He said he's going to reverse the ban on immigration from Muslim-majority countries. He said he was going to allow DACA to continue. He's going to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. He's going to withdraw from WHO. He's going to mandate masks where he could. So everything is there. And I think the good thing about yesterday is that he really called for unity. And people can laugh and say, oh, there's no unity. And, yeah, people have differences on the issues, but you set the tone at the top. And I think the biggest thing you can see with President Biden is he's going to allow his opponents room to make a deal.
I think the headline a lot of people took away from the president's inaugural address yesterday was to end the uncivil war the country's been experiencing over the last few years. I wonder how long you think the honeymoon, if any, is going to last for this new president.
So the honeymoon will be short-lived, but I do believe that throughout his presidency, he's going to leave room, like I said, for his opponents to make a deal. And what I mean by that is we've had the temperature raised every day of the last 4 years, and even before then, where the rhetoric was high, you saw him trying to take the temperature down. And so that you can focus on your policy differences versus your personal differences. You can disagree without being disagreeable. And so I think he's going to have a longer leash than most if he continues this tone.
We're starting to see some of those policy differences crop up already in terms of stimulus, even some moderate Republicans sounding trepidatious about further spending at this point. What is the challenge ahead for President Biden as he tries to negotiate another round of stimulus, particularly with markets looking as though there is still that expectation that fiscal relief is going to continue?
So, Nathan, that's the issue. We expected this coming in, was that the bid-ask spread on this stimulus was going to be anywhere from around $1 trillion to $2 trillion. If you're going to do a bipartisan bill on COVID-19 relief, it's actually going to be between $750 and $1.5 trillion. If you give up on the bipartisanship and you try to use reconciliation, you can have a higher number, but that gets tough because you have to deal and make sure that all Democrats are aligned. So this still has to play out. I don't think anyone knows right now. But there are a few of those options in the current proposal by Biden, which I don't think will make it. But a lot of them, there's a lot of agreement on.
What options do you think aren't going to make it?
Well, I don't want to be the predictor saying these aren't good. But the ones that are in more jeopardy are things that are not totally related to COVID-19 relief or economic recovery for this moment. So things like minimum wage, $15 minimum wage, that's a longstanding policy fight. So that may be one that's really difficult to get, especially if you want to keep it bipartisan.
Of course, the other big issue that the new president has signaled is going to be a priority for him is comprehensive immigration reform. Very interesting to put that out this early, considering it's been a tough ask since, I think, the George W. Bush administration.
Yes, that's a great point. I think that the reason he did it is because he was committed to that from the very beginning. And he didn't want to wait, and he wanted to show the people who voted for him that, hey, I'm going to try to keep my promises. You can already see some tension on that with Republicans, Senator Hawley objecting to the Homeland Security chief nomination because of immigration reform. That'll go away, but the Republicans are already sending signals, hey, this is a tough area to go into.
And speaking of cabinet nominees, are you expecting any further pitfalls or obstacles for some of these president's cabinet nominees getting confirmed?
So I think on the top line, the cabinet secretaries, that level and even one level behind that, I think the Republicans are going to try to let Biden get his people in place. But as you go down the line, I think there are going to be some issues with certain people, especially on the regulatory side, where there are major differences between the Republicans and the Democrats. So on the high side, no, I don't really see that as much. But as you get down the line to the lower level positions, I think there will be some objections.
And in our last 30 seconds here, the rocky transition, could that lead to certain blind spots for Biden? Last 30 seconds.
So you're dealing with impeachment. You're dealing with a lot of things that can really be a petri dish for partisanship. So, yes, that is a headwind. That's friction in the system. But I think Biden's going to do the best to get the most out of it.
Thank you, Andy. Great having you on with us this first full day in office for President Biden. Andy Blockers, head of U.S. government affairs at Invesco, with us this morning and taking a look at the markets ahead of the open, futures pointing to more gains for equities, with S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 23, NASDAQ futures up 50 points. That's a gain of just about 0.4%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Thursday morning. And it's brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Biden capped off his inauguration day with remarks from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial last night and called on America to unify.
America's story depends not on any one of us, not on some of us, but on all of us, on we the people. That's the task before us.
And now he's issuing another flurry of executive orders aimed at fighting the pandemic. Just this hour, the president announced plans to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost vaccine and testing supplies. He'll create a national testing board and require masks on buses, trains, and airplanes. President Biden also said the U.S. will rejoin the World Health Organization.
At the same time, the president's push for another round of stimulus is coming against Republican opposition. Bloomberg's Emily Wilkins has the very latest from Washington.
We have seen a number of moderate Republican senators say that they have concerns about passing a $1.9 trillion package after the Senate just passed a $900 billion package a month ago. They're concerned about the debt, about the deficit, about pumping too much money into the economy at this point.
In consideration of the president's stimulus package could also be complicated by impeachment proceedings.
Twitter is taking action on human rights in China. The social network has locked the account of the Chinese embassy to the U.S. That's after a post that defended Beijing's policies in the western region of Xinjiang, where China is accused of forced sterilization of minority Uyghurs. We get more from Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner.
These are tweets, and this is language that seems to be having a real impact on the world in terms of real world harm, right? We hear Facebook and Twitter talk about that all the time, is saying once you cross the line and start committing real world harm, that's when your tweets get taken down.
The move could complicate efforts to reset U.S.-China relations under President Biden.
All right, let's get to the pandemic now with another grim milestone this morning. A new record for global fatalities as daily deaths surpass 17,500. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. John.
And Nathan, President Biden's team is increasingly worried the pandemic is spiraling out of control. Vaccines are lagging and a more transmissible strain is emerging. The U.S. death toll now stands at 406,000, but there are signs of hope. Well, weekly fatalities are forecast to dip in about a month. Just over 17 million vaccine doses have been administered so far, and that's according to the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And futures are higher. S&P futures up 5.5 points. Dow futures up 17. NASDAQ futures up 48. And coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, your local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr once again for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The Senate has confirmed President Joe Biden's nominee for Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. The vote for confirmation was 84-10. She's the first woman to oversee the nation's spy agencies. Haines pledged during a confirmation hearing that she will never let politics affect decision-making in the collection and use of intelligence. Haines also says to be effective, the DNI must never shy away from speaking truth to power, even when it may be inconvenient or difficult. Three new Democratic senators have been sworn into office, giving Democrats the majority in the Senate. The Senate is now split 50-50, with Vice President Kamala Harris as a potential tie-breaking vote. Harris delivered the oath of office to Democrats John Ossoff, Raphael Warnock, and Alex Padilla. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
And as the majority changes in the Senate will do business differently.
The Senate will address the challenges our country faces head on and without delay, not with timid solutions, but with boldness and with courage.
Three National Guard members on a training flight were killed last night when their helicopter crashed in a farmer's field in western New York. The Black Hawk medical evacuation helicopter crashed in Mendon, a rural town south of Rochester. Monroe County Sheriff Todd Baxter.
We had a Black Hawk in the middle of Mendon go down with three great Americans on it, so keep them in your minds and your prayers.
The FAA said it would take part in the crash investigation. New Yorkers earning $100 million or more could face up to an additional 2% surcharge on their personal income tax for the next 3 years. That's according to a draft budget legislation released yesterday. Police made multiple arrests after a group of protesters stormed downtown Seattle yesterday, hours after President Joe Biden was sworn in. They broke windows, burned a flag, and tagged walls with words like "abolish everything." Seattle Police spokesperson Valerie Carson says there was a lot of graffiti and property damage.
We, of course, respect people's right to free speech, and we want to let them voice their opinions and be heard. But we need to find that balance in protecting the safety of the general public as well.
Police say a group of about 150 protesters carrying anti-Biden and anti-police signs marched in Portland streets last night and damaged the headquarters of the Democratic Party of Oregon. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Back to John Stanshire for a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Kyrie Irving's first game in 2 weeks. He sent out 7 games for what he termed a needed pause. While he was gone, the Nets acquired James Harden. So last night in Cleveland, the first time that Irving, Harden, and Kevin Durant all played together. Durant scored 38 points. Irving had 37. He played a career high 48 minutes. Harden had 21 on a triple-double. But the Nets didn't play much defense, especially in the second overtime and against one Cav in particular.
Sexton out front against Green. Sexton steps back, three, there's another one! Colin Sexton, an absolutely incredible display of long-range shooting. Cavs by 11, 142-131.
Cavs radio call. Cleveland won 147-135. Sexton drafted by the Cavs with the pick they got when they traded Irving to Boston. 42 points, he had 15 in that second overtime. Same two play again in Cleveland tomorrow. The Knicks play tonight at Golden State. Well, Tom Brady is still going strong at age 43. He's playing Sunday in his 14th conference championship game. Other older QBs are calling it a career. Drew Brees widely expected to, and Phillip Rivers made it official at age 39. 17 seasons, all but one with the Chargers. This past year with the Colts, Rivers says he now wants to coach high school football at the same school where his father coached him. Houston Astros, having lost George Springer to Toronto, were able to re-sign another free agent outfielder, Michael Brantley. Free agent pitcher Trevor Bauer just won the Cy Young Award, said to be in talks with the world champion Dodgers. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The short supply of homes in Greenwich is prompting buyers to commit quickly and boost their bids to beat the competition. Of all purchases completed in the fourth quarter, almost 14% were above the seller's asking price, compared with 2.6% a year earlier. An agency set up to retire higher-cost Long Island Power Authority debt could get authorization to refinance its own $4 million in debt. That's under a proposal in Governor Andrew Cuomo's budget. The Utility Debt Securitization Authority was created in 2013 to lower the cost of servicing debt to acquire Long Island Lighting. Well, the Trust for Governor's Island, a city-owned nonprofit that runs the land, is working with the mayor's office on a new plan for the area's long-debated next phase. It calls for a climate research center with 4.5 million square feet of new development on the southern part of the island, which currently is mostly open green space. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Okay, Ed, thank you. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. Alcoa is warning that higher costs may weigh on earnings this quarter.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WHAM 1180 in Rochester, New York, investors snapped up Kodak shares on the launch of a new partnership involving the company's inks used in fabrics.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on plans by the government to extend support for jobs during the pandemic after the end of the furlough program.
I'm Ed Curry on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting some roller rinks and bowling alleys are suing Michigan's governor because of the state's coronavirus pandemic-related lockdown.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching, United Airlines mapping out its road to recovery. The company's plan calls for topping pre-pandemic growth profit margins, I should say, by 2023. And we get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
In its earnings statement, United said this year will be, quote, a transition from the unprecedented decline in travel demand because of COVID-19. The company expressed, quote, high confidence that its profit margin as measured by adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization would exceed that of 2019. United's focus on the long term underscores the bleak outlook for coming months as the coronavirus pandemic continues to gut travel demand. The airline says it has identified $1.4 billion in permanent cost cuts, getting it more than halfway to its goal of $2 billion. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And Citigroup is going to reduce bonuses for dozens of top executives. That comes after the bank was reprimanded by regulators last year. The Federal Reserve and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency criticized Citi for failing to maintain risk management and other internal systems. Right now, S&P futures up 5.5 points, Dow futures up 16, NASDAQ futures higher by 49 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly to mostly sunny today with a high near 40 degrees. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, breezy low 40s for Friday highs. It'll be mostly sunny, breezy, and chilly for Saturday, low 30s. Right now, 27 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are climbing to records on optimism that fiscal spending will revive economic growth and bolster corporate earnings. S&P futures are edging higher after the gauge posted its best first-day reaction to a presidential inauguration since at least 1937. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 6 points. Dow futures up 19. NASDAQ futures up 51. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nds. Yield 1.08%, yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 41 cents at $52.90 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.30 at $18.73.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2136 against the dollar, British pound 1.3721, and the yen 103.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Biden is issuing another flurry of executive orders aimed at fighting the pandemic. The president announced plans to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost vaccine and testing supplies. He'll create a national testing board and require masks on buses, trains, and airplanes. President Biden also says the U.S. will rejoin the World Health Organization. Dr. Anthony Fauci made a virtual address to the WHO's executive board meeting in Switzerland after the reverse of the previous Trump administration's position. Fauci admits there's a long road ahead.
We realize that responding to COVID-19 and rebuilding global health and advancing health security around the world will not be easy.
In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Cavaliers in double overtime, 147-135. The Celtics lost. The Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. And as the new administration signals, it is going to be putting a laser focus now on the pandemic. We're very pleased to be joined once again by Andy Pekosh, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. It's always great to get your insights, Professor, and I want to get your reaction, if I could, to the news that we just heard from Michael Barr, this flurry of executive orders that President Biden is putting out now aimed at the pandemic. Will a new approach from a new administration make a difference with this pandemic?
Yeah, so I certainly do hope so. And one of the really reassuring things about the executive orders that came out is, you know, they span the entire spectrum from short-term solutions, things that are going to be targeted to get the infection rates down right now, to relieve our healthcare system and the population from the burden of this disease. And they go through production of vaccine and implementation of vaccines, all of which are the medium to long-term plans that will reduce our disease, the disease impact of COVID-19 on the population. So I like them all. They're clear directives, and they're providing us more tools to more effectively fight this pandemic.
What is the latest that we know about these new strains of the virus that spread more easily? Are they having any impact on the efficacy of the vaccines that are out there now?
Yeah, so we know that these variants, and there are now many of them, they come on our radar screen because they have mutations in parts of the virus that we know are important for either the way the virus interacts with our cells or in the way that the antibodies that we make that kill the virus bind to the virus. So we know that some of them are coming up with mutations that are affecting the ability of antibodies to bind to these viruses. Right now, it seems like the antibodies that are generated by the vaccine are still recognizing these variants, so there's no cause for concern. If you're online for a vaccine, I would absolutely say take it. It still should provide good protection against these variants. But I think we're now thinking a little bit more long-term in terms of how to update the vaccines to make sure that they are really well matched to the viruses that are circulating in the population right now.
One of the last times we spoke, you said that we should use the flu vaccine as a model for this rollout effort. What would that entail?
Yeah, well, it entails really having large areas where people can come in and get their vaccine relatively effectively and quickly. There's a few things that are different about the COVID-19 vaccine. You have to have a 15-minute wait after you get the vaccine to make sure that you don't have one of these very rare anaphylactic shock events. Because of the social distancing that we need now for all things, facilities need to be larger to accommodate people with large numbers of people with the space. So you're looking for places that are really large central areas, places where people can get to easily, but that can accommodate large numbers of people for extended periods of time and allow for social distancing. So this is where some of the new executive orders are also targeting these types of areas to make sure that we can implement them, put them together, and increase the flow of people through these vaccine centers.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Professor, but if you were to give the new president advice on how to handle this pandemic, what's one piece of advice you would give him?
Lead by example and show those examples frequently. We need to keep the message going. We need to make sure that people understand the message works. We have to figure out how to get people to reengage in this, and that's where leadership really can step in.
Always appreciate having you on with us, Professor. Thank you so much for your insights, as always. Andy Pekosh is a professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
One of President Biden's first acts in office was to fire Peter Robb, the general counsel for the National Labor Relations Board. Robb was a Trump appointee. Jane Nishida will serve as the acting administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency until Michael Regan is confirmed as head of the agency. Walt Disney cut the pay of its longtime general counsel by about 34% last year. The entertainment company moved to reduce costs because of the pandemic.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching includes former President Donald Trump's final batch of pardons and commutations. His former strategist Steve Bannon, the rapper Lil Wayne, and former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick were among those receiving clemency. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter & English.
Do a lot of the pardons seem to involve politicians caught in corruption?
We do see a trend for President Trump issuing pardons and commutations of sentences related to a great number of white-collar crimes. For example, there were several former political figures among those granted clemency by Mr. Trump. Kwame Kilpatrick, the former mayor of Detroit, had his sentence commuted. He was sentenced to 28 years in prison after being convicted of 24 counts, including racketeering and extortion. President Trump also pardoned Robert Hayes, a former chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party. He'd been accused in 2019 of bribery and conspiracy. And the president also pardoned Randall Duke Cunningham in a case that got a lot of publicity involving a former representative of California. In 2006, he was sentenced to 8 years and 4 months in prison for taking $2.4 million in bribes from military contractors. So I do think that these pardons are unusual in that they involve so many white-collar crimes, and it does involve a large number of people who were involved in politics, either by holding elective office or in some way being involved in political campaigns and involved in fundraising.
I think a case that really illustrates the process of getting the attention of President Trump is the commutation for Sholem Weiss, who is serving the largest white-collar sentence in U.S. history, 835 years for money laundering and other charges. His nephew, Hershey Martin, had a campaign to secure the presidential commutation for his uncle. He addressed a long string of impassioned tweets to the president. He contacted dozens of legislators, urging them to write letters to the White House. He promoted a website featuring endorsements from people like Alan Dershowitz. It was literally a campaign, but it worked.
That's an interesting point, June, because President Trump has not followed the normal pardon process. The Department of Justice has an office that evaluates all of these pardon applications, the system that's designed to impose some fairness on a process that is otherwise potentially arbitrary. President Trump, more than any other past president, has largely circumvented that process, which he has the right to do. So it's difficult to determine exactly why certain people were granted pardons or commutations and others were not.
And that's Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter and English, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Again, futures are higher this morning. S&P futures now up 7 points. Dow futures up 30 and NASDAQ futures up 59. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.08%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. Our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.